Perhaps you have heard the story, and if you know it well enough, I invite you to share it with me. But if you don't, then you can just follow along. The story begins, "I am Sam. I am Sam. Sam, I am. That Sam I am, I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. Do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse? I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox? Not in a box. Not with a fox. Not in a house. Not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Sam, I am." What are things people don't like besides green eggs and ham? Well, I did another one of those Google searches, and I find that there are people that don't like spiders. Anybody here in that category? Or maybe bugs? Some people don't like peas. Anybody here don't like peas? Or beans? Or eggs? I guess there are people that don't like eggs. How about the sound of metal scraping on metal? That's sort of one of those cringing kind of things. Or warm, squishy fruit. Sticky hands. Anybody here sitting by a kid that has sticky hands? Or how about people who don't clean their teeth properly? Dr. Mike, there's a hand right there. And maybe this one, sandals on men. I guess maybe I didn't know that, but I guess that's one of those. There are all kinds of things that people don't like, and maybe they're some that don't like them because they've never tried them. I have this phobia of raw oysters. I've never tried them. I still haven't gotten the nerve up to try. Some of you probably love them. I don't know. Maybe a few hands there. Or New York City, I haven't had the courage to try that yet either. I think might be a nice place to visit, but there are lots of nice places to visit. So once was in Florida with my mother, and I'd never tried boiled peanuts, and so we saw this sign on the side of the road, and I thought, well, let's try one, and I did. And that was enough. Some of you might like peas. They kind of taste a little bit like boiled peas, I think, but same category. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he gave his disciples a commission, an instruction. And Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says, Jesus says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So he told them, go and make disciples. Over in Acts chapter 26, Paul is standing before the authorities, King Agrippa, and he's giving a testimony of his calling, of how God and Jesus have worked in his life. And so in Acts 26, 15 through 18, Paul says this. He says, "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?'" He had been blinded on that road to Damascus and now is encountering Jesus. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." A commission. Matthew 28 called the Great Commission. What is a co-mission? Well, it's a task or a responsibility that's shared by others, a co-mission. And our co-mission is, as believers in Jesus, to share the salvation of Christ, the love of Jesus, with the world around us. It's primarily for us as believers to share him with people of Fulton County. And so the co-mission of our First Baptist Church is to be a representative of Jesus Christ in this community, in this county, and to share the love of Jesus in whatever ways we can with our community. And there are other people and other churches and other groups that are doing the same. We are sharing our co-mission with other groups. Our co-mission is to be like Sam I Am, persistent in sharing the goodness of a Savior with a world who's never tried. Because we live in an increasingly secular society that seems a whole lot like that unnamed character in the Dr. Seuss book, they do not like Jesus, even though they have never tried him. They do not like him here or there. They do not like him anywhere, even though many young people have never set foot in a church. Many of the children growing up in schools and homes and families have never held a Bible, never opened a Bible, never gone to Sunday school, never read or heard about Jesus other than as a word of profanity. They have no idea what that little cross on their necklace is all about. That's in Rochester, Fulton County. If there's any nation that needs Jesus, America does, and yet many don't want him. And many get offended if you mention his name or somehow try to influence them in some way. They even threaten with lawsuits and legal action. And if you dare do that on a public place, courthouse lawn by chance, there are repercussions to that as well. We live in a day and time when things that used to work don't work so well anymore. When I was younger, people could go door to door and share their faith in Christ with others, but door to door evangelism doesn't work real well anymore. People aren't home, first of all, and second of all, they're skeptical about what you want and they don't want their time imposed on. There are lots of reasons. And when I was younger, we used to go to revival services, and churches would have those crusades, and it would go for a whole week, and people would invite their unsaved friends to go to those services. And sometimes those would encourage people to love Jesus, and their lives would be changed. But we live in a time when people are too busy for revival services, and most of the time that's not a very effective tool. Vacation Bible school still works to some extent, but not like it once did, when you could go out to the neighbors and invite their children to come, and they would come, and then we'd tell children about Jesus, and Sometimes even the parents would come to find out somehow there are things that don't work well anymore. Well, if you read the whole story of Sam I Am, his unnamed friend eventually decides that the green eggs and ham aren't so bad after all. Once he tries them, he kind of likes them. And the same, I believe, with Jesus. The world doesn't know how good he is until they try him. For those who really come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord, the life changes in so many powerful, positive ways. For those who know Christ, there's a hope that somehow undergirds the rest of our life, and we have that assurance that whatever happens, Jesus is still Lord, and that even the worst of things that can happen in this life can't take away the hope of eternity. And there is an assurance that we have of the friendship with the Creator. We can call him by name, Jesus, my Lord. That Savior and that friendship, that assurance that we have, and somehow we have that confidence that life makes sense. There is a purpose and a reason. There is a Creator who made us and who calls us by name because he loves us and he wants us. There's a sense of belonging. We're part of the family of God, and we belong to Jesus, and he belongs to us. And so there's a whole different way of understanding and a way of looking at life. So how does Sam I Am get his unnamed friend to taste green eggs and ham? How does he do it? Any way he can. A box, a fox, in a boat with a goat, here or there or anywhere, and Sam I Am just doesn't give up. He keeps asking. In fact, it almost seems like he's nagging to the point where the unnamed friend says, if you will just let me be, I will try them and you'll see. We need to be more like Sam I Am, I think. As Christians, as believers, that persistence of Sam I Am is a good example of how people who love Christ can be with their friends and their neighbors. The world around would only know how good Jesus is, they would love him too. And sometimes we get tired of asking them, and sometimes we feel like we're nagging them, and sometimes they get offended because we ask too many times, and maybe they avoid us because they don't want to hear it anymore. We've shared our faith and we've tried hard enough, but still, we have wonderful news. We have the best news the world could ever hear, and somehow it's almost wrong for us not to share the goodness of Jesus, even if they think they don't want it. What's Jesus done for you? How has he changed your life for the better? Do you have that divine friendship, that relationship with God? I was listening this morning to my Bible in the Year. I guess it's a podcast or some kind of a devotion anyway. And I listened to Nicky Gumbel. He's the creator of the Alpha program, and he talks about how since 1974, when he became a Christian, he spends the first part of every day walking with Jesus and reading the Bible and listening. And I think, well, I've been doing it quite a while too. And there's something comforting and something important about that divine friendship, that ability just to talk to the Lord and listen and to hear his voice. And how's he changed us? He's given us a friendship. And when there's a trial or a heartache or a struggle, there's a friend just to talk to. There's a confidence God has taken care of me all these years, and if he's done that, why would he stop now? He's not going to quit. He's as faithful today as he was when we began. In what ways is your life good because of him? How have prayers been answered, and how are lives changed all around you because of him? And if Jesus is so good to us, why aren't we more like Sam I Am? How can we be like him? How can we be like the Apostle Paul, who after he was beaten and dragged out of that city, left for dead, he got up and went back in to tell them again. We're not quite up to snuff, according to Paul, perhaps, but how can we do better? How can we share effectively? How can we be so determined that even when we're persecuted, we still don't give up? How can we share the goodness of our Jesus with a world that hasn't really tasted him very much? Lots of things don't work, so what does work? Well, pray. Pray for God to bring some people into your life, or that God will take you into their life. A friend, maybe a child or a grandchild, a person at work or somebody in your social gathering place. Pray that there might be a friendship, a relationship where you could just connect with that person and little by little share the love of Christ. Pray for God to bring somebody into your life that needs Jesus. And the second thing, be willing to go. The days of unsaved people coming to church are come and gone for the most part. There are times when people come to church that haven't known him, but those are kind of rare times. And to be honest, if you have been a Christian, they say, for 7 years, most of your friends are Christians. And so to make friends with unsaved people means somehow we have to go out there where they are. And so we need to go to them. Go into all the world, Jesus said. And to be honest, all the world's probably just right outside the door. It doesn't have to be Africa or some other country to become a friend. Time and conversations and laughter or friend stuff. What is that? Fishing or bowling or walking or exercise class or whatever it might be. There are times when we just need to do friend stuff. Or maybe there's a need. Somebody who's hurting or struggling or going through a tough time, and you go and just sit with them, or maybe you share food with them, or maybe give them that sense that they are not all alone, or join a club or a group where you can meet people that don't go to church. But somehow we need to go and make new unchurched friends. How do we share the love of Jesus? We pray and we go, and then we invite our friend to hear a little more about Jesus. Maybe you talk about him in your casual conversations. You can mention your friend's name as you share other things. When you talk about Jesus as your friend, maybe they hear without you having to prod and push and twist their arm. Maybe you invite a friend to sit with you in church, or maybe you say, well, I just read this really interesting book, like How Good is Good Enough. We've got some other copies of that if you'd like, but it's a little easy-to-read pamphlet, and you figure out that as you read it, nobody's good enough without Jesus. Or maybe we read this one, a couple of us read together, A Person of Interest, and here's a story of someone who's discovered that you can hear and learn about Jesus without ever opening the Bible if you really want to. He's in the pages of history and in the events and the and the whole actions of the world. Maybe you can share a book with your friend. Or maybe you can invite your friend to share a song or music, or maybe just say, can I pray with you? Or can I help you with that struggle that you're going through? But the care, the persistence, the friendship, you go long, not just, okay, I'll be your friend for a few weeks, but a lifelong commitment to that person. And you take whatever time you need and they need. There's an old song, it's old now, I guess maybe it's kind of old, that the singer Ray Bolts used to sing it a lot. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed, and I'm so glad you gave. If you become a Sam I Am, there are those who will be eternally grateful that you gave. Do you remember how you came to know Jesus? Maybe it was at church camp, or maybe it was on a Sunday morning. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class. Maybe it was a grandmother who brought you to church every Sunday. Or maybe it was that teacher at school that cared enough to listen to the struggles you were going through. Maybe your mother or father showed their love for Jesus by bringing you and making you come even when you didn't want to come. Sometimes you were stubborn and resistant, and my friends don't have to go, why should I? And your mother and dad said, because that's what we do. That's how we share our love for Jesus. For me, it was a combination of things. A mother and father who took me to church. They didn't send me to church. They took me. They went with me. We went with them. I had grandparents who went to church. I remember watching my grandfather, who would get up in the morning and read his devotion. And he also read, amazingly enough, a book called Josephus. Anybody ever read Josephus? It was kind of a Jewish history book. I thought, who has a grandfather who would read Josephus? But then there was a new season in my life where graduated from high school, getting ready to go off for college, and God was at work just in behind the scenes times, and it was a transition period for the church. The pastor that I had known had gone to another place, and an interim pastor had come, and he was ministering there in the church that summer. His name was George King. Some of you met George King because he became an interim pastor here after he left Lafayette. But that summer, as George King shared, I surrendered my life to him, just whatever he wanted me to do. And it ended up in a glorious blessing of a career serving Christ. But the Lord wasn't done yet, because years down the road, George King's son, Ray, married my mother. So George's son, Ray, was my stepfather, who passed away a few years ago. How does God work? You never really know what God's doing totally. And yet, I'm so glad that people gave, their life and served, and that there are Sam I Ams all around the world who are sharing. You do not like them, so you say. Try them, and you may. Sam, if you let me be, I will try them, you will see. If you read the book, the unnamed friend tries them. And then he says, say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam I Am. And I would eat them in a boat. And I would eat them with a goat. And I will eat them in the rain and in the dark and on a train. and in a car and in a tree. They are so good, you see. So I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a fox, and I will eat them in a house. I will eat them with a mouse. I will eat them here and there. Say, I will eat them anywhere. I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you. Thank you, Sam, I am. And the story is from Dr. Seuss, but the Sam I Ams that go out and share the hope of Jesus, those are the real blessings in our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sam I Ams here today, gathered just to worship and to celebrate and to invite you to be Lord of life today. And God, I pray that you would lead each one of us to another person that we might share you with. Lord, help us not to be complacent enough just to do with our own Christian friends that we already have. Help us, Lord, to be persistent, to be willing to go, to make a new friend, to make a new connection, to try to share the blessing of Jesus with somebody else that doesn't know. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart that cares enough to be persistent, maybe even to the point of nagging. We don't want to nag in a bad way, in a good way, because we want people to know and enjoy the Lord that we have. Lord, I pray that you would give us that relationship with Jesus, with you, that causes our hearts just to want to tell, to share the good news, to help others come to know him. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us. Show us, Lord, make us a blessing to someone today as we sang. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are so good. And may we share you with others. Help us to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.